Welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amano, your host, and we're here to help you move forward, achievers, business owners, leaders. We want to help you move forward with your life, your business, your entrepreneurial adventure here in Rochester, New York. And the way I'm doing that is I am getting together with some of the top leaders and people that are just making things happen here in Rochester in the entrepreneurial environment. And I have probably one of the top guys that is really pushing things forward since he's come to lovely Rochester, New York from one of our downstate smaller cities, right? named New York area. I have Richard Glazer. Richard, thank you so much for being on the show. Truly appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, David. I've enjoyed our friendship for many years. Thank you.
You've been a big supporter of everything that I've done through the years, from my Next Step Enterprises to my new Avanti Enterprises. I've come to you quite often in advance of my ideas, like my first Avanti Summit. I said, Richard, what do you think? And you were very candid with me. I won't mention any names, but you suggested that I take a couple of those speakers off and add some new, I'll say more cutting edge speakers, which I did. And it turned out to be a great, great idea. I just got excited about the Carlson Co-work, and it's something I think you would agree to be very excited about. But you were half joking, half not. Like, David, that was so last year. You know, I mean, like, you were already all over that a year ago, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I love talking to you, because you really are on the cutting edge and really in the ecosystem of moving Rochester forward with just some of the really exciting stuff going on. So if you don't mind, Richard, for those of you that don't know you, which, you know, if you have been involved in the Rochester business world in the past 10 or 15 years, you probably heard of Richard. But if you don't mind, you came to Rochester and just if you don't mind sharing the beginning of your journey of getting involved in the ecosystem of our business community.
Well, ultimately, I chose Rochester because I married into a Rochester family. That's not an uncommon story.
Yeah. We love people. People like you.
I grew up in New York City. I grew up with the chip on my shoulder where I thought New York was the center of the world. I guess over the years, I realized New Yorkers are as provincial, perhaps, as any other people might be.
Right.
As I often like to say, the New Yorkers, they could find just about every nation on the globe if asked to, but then if they had to line up Rochester, Syracuse, and Buffalo on the thruway, and you told them that they are all on the thruway,
right?
Most New York City folks wouldn't be able to get that. But I was introduced to this community, and the first time I came up here, I was awed by East Avenue, and just you could. I was a history major. I love social science. That's my go-to subject, social sciences, in my spare time. I don't read about sports as much as perhaps some others.
Mm-hmm.
And this area just has a special aura around it. And it was obvious from the moment I arrived.
Mm-hmm.
My sister coincidentally graduated U of R, and I attended her graduation in 1987. And then several years later, I had happened to meet a woman from Rochester and came up here and met the family, got married, and then returned 5 years later in 95. So this place is special, and I think it's a lot of outsiders who recognize it because we have a certain degree of perspective when we arrive here. And the amount of friction in this community is far less than others. The traffic, just how habitable it is, but also people are accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And when I arrived here, I was in my early 30s. I left my career in New York. I had been a partner in a venture capital fund. We decided Rochester because of family, and we wanted to put our stakes in the ground and build a family. And I grew up in a household, my educational systems, all impressed upon me the more importance of giving back. Social justice, there's a consciousness around that. And I wanted to be a contributor to the community. So I arrived, although I had a few doors open to me by family contacts, the family I married into, but you know, as a pushy New Yorker. And I was a venture capitalist previously in my career. And what I like to call creative collisions are imperative.
Mm-hmm.
We get out. We meet people. That's how we generate deal flow. That's how we help our companies succeed by finding additional members to the management team, how we find additional investors because we don't always put in the entire amount of money that's required to fund a company. So it is a contact sport. And so I went out and I found Rochesterians wide open and very receptive to me. I also found, though, a conservatism and a tendency to want to preserve the status quo that existed among many people. Stodginess, if you will.
It was called Smugtown for a while, right?
Yeah, and I discovered that I actually read the book. It's by a journalist. It was published in the 50s. It's not very well written. Mm-hmm. But others have noticed and observed this desire to preserve this nice lifestyle that people had. But the world changes, and I think oftentimes some of the greatest thinkers and proponents of innovation will identify Kodak as the poster child of an amazing institution that ignored change around it. And as a result, we saw what happened. We experienced it firsthand with the impact upon the economy. As a venture capitalist, and I was drawn to that because of innovation, because of change, I like to say I'm an entrepreneur, and most entrepreneurs are unemployable, mm-hmm. or they choose not to work within a large corporation where if they have a bad boss, their life could be miserable, and they want to take some control over their life and their path.
Yep.
So I ended up, you know, circulating, and I had to design my own career here. And spending some time on my own consulting and then eventually working for the largest asset manager for a year, it wasn't a good fit. I connected with some folks that were launching a venture capital fund in New York, Hudson Ventures, and they were impressed by the opportunities they saw up here. They were already in the midst of doing their first investment in a Rochester company. So I agreed to help raise additional money for that fund. I knocked on doors here. I have a lot of scars to prove it. I've been through that whole process that startup entrepreneurs have to go through if they're raising additional cap or outside capital. Mm-hmm. But then I also bird-dogged and looked for deals throughout upstate. Many of the opportunities I invested in were in New York or in Boston, but I did invest in four upstate companies and got a sense of the environment. And this was in the early 2000s. It's way different now. And I feel I was part of the early movement to change it. And part of change is identifying the assets, but then also cultivating a different mindset. And there are a lot of people throughout upstate that I feel some linkages to. I'm on the board of Upstate Venture Connect. We like to think of ourselves as a region. I'm very pleased to see that in fact, before you arrived, I was just reading the formal announcement from GRE that they teamed up with Buffalo to put together a compelling proposal for HQ2 that is being submitted to Amazon, I believe, tomorrow. So Buffalo and Rochester, Syracuse, we are a region. And if you actually look at ourselves as a region, we can justify an NFL team. Perhaps we could even justify an MLB, a professional baseball team, because we have over 3
hockey,
million.
Right?
We do have hockey and football and football. But we also have a tremendous, tremendous history from the great universities, the great talent. And great talent doesn't disappear in a few years after you're struggling. It's still there. The kids of these brilliant people that are doing incredible, perhaps even spook work at Kodak that was remarkable in helping preserve the peace during the Cold War, spying spook work on the Soviets. They had kids, and those kids ended up going to Penfield, Brighton, city schools, and then they didn't all disappear. So we have this present.
Hey Richard, I'm really sorry. We got to take a quick break. You're on a good roll. I don't want to lose that roll, and we'll be right back.
Cool. Thank you.
Join Victor's own David Mamano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
Hey folks, Dave Mamano here, host of Avanti Entrepreneur Radio. I'm here to welcome a new sponsor to my show. It's One Down Consulting. A friend of mine, Ron Willie, owns the company. And, you know, I look back at when I started in sales and I had a Rolodex and a phone. And we all have access today to the best sales and marketing technology. But most of us are not using it effectively. And let's face it, the companies that leverage technology will outmarket and outsell their competitors. If you need help with all of this technology to make sure you're maximizing your sales and marketing efforts with technology, then Ron Willie and One Down Consulting
is your partner. They can really make sure that you are maximizing your sales and marketing technology strategy, your sales process, your marketing and sales alignment. They have implementation of tools for marketing automation, Salesforce automation, CRM, and so much more. I really encourage you to go to onedownconsulting.com to learn more, and or just reach out to me and I'll connect you.
Think of everything you do to provide for your family. A home, food on the table, healthcare, vacations, and saving for your kids' education. It's all good as long as you're alive. But it's only a drop in the bucket of what they'll need if you die without life insurance. Buying term life insurance is not something you can afford to put off. Call the Term Lifeline now for the lowest possible rates on quality term life insurance. Term life rates are at all-time lows, and we can save you up to 70%. If you already have coverage, you could be paying too much. One call could save you thousands of dollars. We have great rates for smokers, too, or if you have health problems. Providing for today is good, but it's not enough if you die prematurely. Call the Term Lifeline today for a free quote. Protect your family and see if you could save up to 70%.
800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. 800-430-1481. That's 800-430-1481.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. 800-219-8332. That's 800-219-8332.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.
Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amato, your host, and I am here with Richard Glazer, who is really one of the instigators of Rochester's renaissance from a business entrepreneurial perspective in many other ways, bringing a little bit of New York City to Rochester to make us realize, like, you know what? We need to be proud of Rochester. Richard said a little bit that a lot of times it's the outsiders that realize how great Rochester is because, you know, we're drinking the Kool-Aid of other people saying, oh, snow. No, it's time to say, like, this is a great, intelligent, incredible town with so much opportunity and such an incredible past. And so you were talking a little bit about some of the things that you know you've seen about Rochester and your journey so far. So please continue.
Yeah. So particularly as a venture capitalist and someone now in my current iteration and final career, where I work very closely with entrepreneurs, startups, and their companies. As a mentor, formally, I there are ways I can help them and assist them. There are informal ways, so I have a sense of what's required to, innovate. And I do a lot of social entrepreneurship work because I believe people who are building great organizations that might have been or might be called nonprofits, they have the same chops as an entrepreneur. They have to understand who their customers are, where their revenues are going to come from, how to remain relevant, how to staff up, how to create a succession plan, all of that stuff. So I dabble in both worlds. And over the years, part of my community engagement involved starting a group called Digital Rochester. And that it's still relevant. I have not been involved since 2003, but in the first 3 years with very limited resources, we ended up attaining a board seat at GRE, Greater Rochester Enterprise, when it was originally formed. I was on the president's search committee the first time, alongside with all these, movers and shakers in the community.
And let me interrupt you just quickly, pat you on the back a little bit. The fact that Digital Rochester is thriving today, is, I think, a great sign of your leadership. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you read Good to Great, any leadership book, the sign of a good leader is the leader leaves and the organization continues to grow and thrive. It's not based on the founder. And in Digital Rochester is one of, I think, one of the key organizations in Rochester today in its space. And they're doing some great things. So congratulations.
Well, there are great people. So one of the things that I'm very aware of is I have an ego. Many people do. Yeah. Some people think mine is bigger than most. But, you know, I recognize the ego. And I think probably the way my ego might be most fulfilled is if there is a succession plan.
Yeah.
I can hand off the baton with comfort and let people go off and take it where it needs to be, and then I can move on to my next thing. So that's the sign of a good entrepreneur. It's rare that you see someone like Mike Odell, who's returned and runs Dell, or Bill Gates ran Microsoft for many years. Most folks end up not having the necessary skills or the desire to take an organization beyond a certain point, and recognizing that is very, very important.
Yeah.
So in regard to my community activities, I've developed an alignment over the years. I'm old enough now where I've had my midlife crisis and I've realized I'm not Mr. Universe and insurmountable, and I've have a lot of reasons to be humble. But I've also recognized, and I think this region helps do this. In New York, it would have been harder for me to achieve it because it's such a rat race. There's so much noise. And here, the quality of life is obvious to me. People enjoy their lives. And family is a focal point for many people, as it was for me.
Right.
So, you know, I have some perspective, and I've created a career that is in balance.
Mm-hmm.
So my work is not work.
Mm.
I don't know how people can retire.
Yeah.
I mean, you move and you shift and things change in one life. And, you know, people view work as a four-letter word.
Right.
And my work, as I told you now, presently as a financial advisor, is focused on entrepreneurs. And ultimately, if I'm working with a client and they're building a company and that company succeeds and I help them by finding a CFO or giving them a connection that they wouldn't have had otherwise that proves to be helpful, they have more wealth for me to manage.
Right.
But it's also fun.
Yeah.
And that's aligned with my venture capital days. If I help that company grow as an investor of that company, the venture capitalists will profit even more.
Right.
So, you know, it's sort of like, I don't know how I got here, but it all sort of happens. And every now and then I reflect and review how things are going. But ultimately, if something becomes a drag and unpleasant, I don't do it anymore.
Ready to move on, right?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, what I think you've done well is I don't think people even know you for your full-time job. I think people know you for a guy that is selflessly moving Rochester ahead with a lot of the initiatives and somebody who is, I'll say, challenging people to think differently, right? You know, Digital Rochester, right? I know you're very involved with helping younger entrepreneurs, right? I think a few years ago, it was a Sunday afternoon, you gave me a call. You were volunteering. It was some business plan competition.
Yeah.
You're like, Dave, there's this guy named Oscar. He needs some help. Can I connect you? And I was like, absolutely. And you know, and then I helped Oscar, and that was all because of you. And you continued to help him, too. I mean, things like that, you know, that's where I know. I'm going to times that by 1,000, you know, per year. And those little things add up. They compound to create a better community.
They do. And now I think the community is becoming more cognizant of the importance of those interactions and paying it forward in the giving culture. It's been proven that people who give are more likely not only to be happy, but to succeed.
Yeah.
It's not a zero-sum game.
Right.
And when you've looked at the communities that are now considered among the hotbeds for entrepreneurship and innovation, I would suggest Boulder, Austin, Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 20 years ago, as a venture capitalist, if you said you would go to those communities to look for deals, I would say, what are you smoking?
Right.
So let me just tell you, I believe Rochester has everything. There's some qualitative differences. We don't have the influx of new blood, first-generation people that are making a name for themselves that are perhaps not tied into the status quo. But, hey, we do get a lot of new folks in here. The universities are a magnet for a lot of talent,
right,
and people who have no ancestral
or
historical connection to the area.
RIT is something like the 11th largest private school in the country.
Yeah, and then if you walk on campus, whenever I teach a class there, I have to do my customer discovery at the beginning. I don't have much time, and I'll ask the students, where are they from and what are they majoring in? At U of R, very few are from the area. At RIT, more are. But even then, many people are coming from the Northeast or Midwest.
Yeah.
So we have thousands and thousands of people here, you know, not naturally from this area.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, the one ingredient that we need to work on that is critical to making this area what it should be, and I'm endeavoring to see it become, is the culture and visionary leadership. And we need to empower people who have vision. We need to support them. We need to change out, in certain areas. But we're evolving, and that will happen over time. So anyone who approaches me, regardless of their age, and has the drive and the creativity, I want to support them.
Yeah.
And through my current passion, Rock Growth, one of the pillars of our organization is to empower the new generation. And I like to say, I'm 55, and I like to think I'm part of the new generation. It's not all young.
Right.
So, and I would suggest, David, you are too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 48, and I still feel 24. So,
having young kids helps.
Yeah, that's true. So tell us more about Rock Growth. It's a couple, 2-3 years you've been doing that? How long?
My God, I was just reflecting when we had our first event. It was the open interview format, Rock Growth Candidates, in a snowstorm in December 2014.
Okay.
44 people showed up. I'm not sure if it was because of the people we interviewed, who are the founders of CaterTrax, now up to over 80 software, 80 folks.
Right.
Or it was the free beer.
Yeah.
But we,
it could
have been a combo, but that was quite a remarkable night. And again, we've been very responsive to the feedback we've gotten. We've evolved, and we've augmented the team. Some of the people switch out. That was the model we developed at Digital Rochester. Volunteer.
Yeah.
If people have time, then they can give. If work gets in the way or family life gets in the way, they can bow off.
Yeah.
But everyone, it's a working committee, a working board. Everyone has their responsibilities.
Yeah.
And a passion around it.
Yeah.
So we've developed, we have certain events. We are in the midst of relaunching our website, and that will be targeting the new generation, people who are looking to return to this area and want to see where the employment opportunities are, where the creative class is hanging, what kind of assets we have, music, wall therapy, all that. Because I strongly believe in the metaphor of a pyramid. At the apex of the pyramid are the cool companies, the cloud checkers that are hiring 50 people maybe this year, the Dottos, the iCardiacs, the ITX, all these cool companies.
Yeah.
But those cool companies wouldn't be here if there weren't cool things for people to do,
right.
Good schools to send your kids to, good culture, because geek stuff, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And when you reflect it, the most attractive places to do entrepreneurship, they're not the lowest tax places, they're not the cheapest place. In fact, they often are the most highly taxed, most expensive places, but they're the coolest places.
Yep.
So you need that at the base of the pyramid, and at the apex you'll have the cool companies. Everything will fall into place. So Rock Growth, we have a bunch of events. We record these events now. So during the events we have our creative collisions. Some people like the term networking. I never heard that term until I moved up here.
I call it
doing business.
Right, creative collisions.
Yeah,
like
creative
that.
Collisions. We share inspirational stories from our community's great innovators. Some of them are well-known, some not so well-known. We record these open interviews with them and post them because many people cannot attend the event in person. You can listen to them as a podcast.
So like you have breakfast events. I go to the you have the quarterly events after work. Right? I mean, those are some of the things
you're doing. We have an event every month. So Rock Road, Kansas, the evening event. Our next event is November 1st, and it's featuring two women who are launching an angel fund to invest in women.
Oh, wow.
So it's a fund by women, for women, about women. And they're both residents of upstate. One lives in Saratoga Springs, another in Ithaca. They're both accomplished, and we're going to feature them. And at the same time, we're unveiling our new logo, which it was an image of two men conducting an interview, and now we've added a woman.
Right.
So now it's a woman and a man.
Yeah.
So just, so again, empowering the new generation, causing creative collisions, sharing inspirational stories. But now, given that I live in the city and I see what's happening, and I appreciate the suburban-urban divide and the importance of some of the issues that are plaguing this area, and we're not the only area in this country that faces it, I'd like to add that everything we do is informed by attempting to create greater equality of sex, or gender, race, class, and age. So we're very sensitive to creating a community that's open to everyone.
And it's really starting to show. You know, I worked, before I started my first company, Next Step, in 1995, I worked downtown in a radio station selling ads. I worked in Midtown, Midtown Plaza, right, which is now gone for the most part.
That's where I worked a bunch of times.
Did you take Chase?
Two different gigs in the building.
But it was dead, right? I mean, like, you walked out anytime, really, and the city was dead. I mean, especially after all the business people left at 5 o'clock. That it's just not a lot going on. And it stayed like that. Now, I got to tell you, I was at Bronca downtown a couple, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I happened to be facing the window out so I could see outside, you know, where Midtown used to be. And I couldn't believe my eyes. So they were playing stickball. There's a stickball game going on. And there was
Parcel 5.
Parcel 5 stickball. There were people jogging. There were people walking their dogs, riding bikes. And I was like, I don't even think 3 years ago you would have seen this. And it, all of a sudden, it's like, and I know it's not all of a sudden, it's been bubbling step by step. But it's like exploding, right? And I looked out, I'm like, this could be a little slice of Manhattan, a very little slice. But I'm like, this is so exciting that Rochester is, I'm going to say it's a renaissance. It really is.
I used that term today when I was talking to someone. We are experiencing a renaissance, a well-deserved renaissance. We have great bones. We have great history, great progressive culture, innovation.
Very
something happened in the last 20, 30 years. But and we're moving beyond it. And we mustn't sell ourselves short. We can be the Boulder or Austin of the Northeast. So another activity I'm involved with, some people might associate with politics, but I feel very passionate about it, and I live two blocks from Parcel 5. And I've actually attended my first city council meeting. I've attended three. I've spoken at two. I've been featured in the news. We're doing a lot of guerrilla marketing. And my position is Rochester has so much potential. It's changing very quickly. Why rush into anything? I don't want to malign or any individual or a politician, but I do believe the mayor has made a serious mistake in going down the path she has. There is no roadmap. We do not have a plan. Why doesn't Rochester work with some of the greatest urban planners, some people who have no agenda because they're dependent upon contracts with the city or the county, and design something that incorporates modern urban theory, applies specifically to Rochester and how we have this amazing river and a gorge there. Parcel 5 is an opportunity for the community to come together. And let's be mindful that there are 209,000 city residents, more than half are of color and a third are living in poverty. And what is the relationship between the city, the urban community, and the suburban community? We need to have that dialogue, because my goal is that this is a win-win for everyone. That when there is a ribbon cutting for whatever goes there, some people want a park, some people want the RBTL, some people, I don't know what they want, but let their voices be heard. And when we have a ribbon cutting, we're all behind it, and it's sing kumbaya.
I love it. Richard, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back.
Open your mind with Free Talk Live. Listen weekdays from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on 1310 WOKR.
The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Your one-stop shop for all your family's Halloween needs. But can you get an outfit out of the costume Nazi? I don't think so. The Spirit said, you got to give him a good reason. What could you be from an Army-Navy store? Drill instructor, ranger, marine commando, special ops operator, pilot, zombie, Amelia Earhart, bandito, the other guy, border guard, get it, tanker, Jill Valentine, Resident Evil, sailor, flight suit, prisoner, Leatherface, Top Gun, Goose and Maverick, dead goose, yeah, I said that, post-apocalyptic family, big boss, Metal Gear, Dictator, we have the cigars for it. Gaier Street Fighter, Iron Mike's MX.com, The Military Exchange Talk Show on YouTube. See our Halloween video at The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
The Home Depot presents this Sports Flash powered by SB Nation Radio on 1310 WOKR. Monday Night Football yesterday, Kansas City Chiefs over the Denver Broncos 29-19. Alex Smith throws a touchdown pass, 202 yards. Quarterback Trevor Siemian for Denver threw three interceptions. World Series could end tonight. Houston Astros are out in La La Land to take on the Dodgers. Justin Verlander, who has not lost a game yet in this postseason, he's got a 2.05 ERA. He's on the mound. The righty will face the lefty, Rich Hill. Buffalo Sabres skate with the Arizona Coyotes on Thursday in their next game. They've already had a couple of days off, but they will try for their fourth win. Then, NBA yesterday, the New York Knicks take care of the Denver Nuggets, 116-110. Kristaps Porzingis, 38 points, 14 of 26 shooting, a career-high 38 for Kristaps. More saving, more doing at the Home Depot. I'm Matt Harab on 1310 WOKR.
Need a new heating system? Let the Home Depot do it for you. Our licensed professionals will do the job right. And now get up to $1,600 via online rebate when you purchase and install a new heating and cooling system through the Home Depot. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT or visit homedepot.com/HVAC to get started. Valid on in-home sales between October 19th and November 15th. And installations completed and paid in full by December 15th.
Hey girl, have you done something new with your scales? Using new moisturizer? Nice. It really brings out the hazel in your eyes. Oh, hold on. Are you using whitening strips too? Your fangs look good, girl. Really good.
A really charming snake charmer? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
Wait, what? Have you been doing Pilates too?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm Dave Mamano, your host. We're having a great conversation. I'm gonna call him the instigator of entrepreneurism here in Rochester, Richard Glazer. And we're talking about really some specifics about downtown. And it's at a very crucial stage now as Parcel 5 is sitting empty and people are playing stickball there at lunch, which is cool. But something's going to be built there at some point soon. So, Richard, you're having some great dialogue about how to really make sure that we don't fumble the ball and we don't rush into it and we do it the right way. So continue that. What are some things that if you had a kind of a dialogue with the mayor and she was like, I'm open ears, Richard, what do you suggest I do?
I'm saying, mayor, you know, you want to develop it? That's good. Let's have an independent, like, blue ribbon panel.
Right.
Develop a plan.
Yeah.
That makes sense because whatever goes there, our kids, our kids' kids, mm-hmm. our kids' kids' kids,
yeah.
you know, it's going to be there for generations.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely no rush. And there are a lot of great examples of how it's done properly and then how it's done poorly.
Yeah.
And that's all. And the other thing I'd like to add, it ties in totally to the dialogue about how to deal with millennials, whatever mm-hmm. that means. I mean, you deal with younger people with respect and openness and transparency the same way I like to deal with older people.
Right, yeah.
And none of this crap around kids these days. The right. worst thing that we ever heard when we were young was the older generation talking about kids these days. Oh, yeah. They watch too much television. I don't watch any television now. It's my parents who have a television on all the time.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
The kids these days are brighter, mm-hmm. more worldly than we were.
Yep.
And isn't that the goal?
Yeah.
To make the world a better place? They stand on our shoulders.
Yeah.
I'm tail end baby boomer. You're not quite.
Yeah.
But the baby boomers were the ones who fought for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Fought for gender equality, fought for, you know, same-sex marriage and more tolerance towards the gay community.
Right.
And the younger generation gets it. And it yeah. happened very quickly. Now we see
the normal,
public
right?
opinion favors, you know, the legislation and judicial decisions that have come forth over the last few years about that.
Right.
So anyway, greater transparency, greater openness, less silos. And that's going to work for the community. It's going to work to attract and retain young folks. And some of the data is showing, and I know it anecdotally, that younger folks are staying here or returning.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people, in fact, we were talking about a couple of them who might fall into that millennial category, who have moved here from Chicago or New York or wherever.
Yeah.
And they embrace it, and they're contributing to this community.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of, you know, there's so many great things to discuss. We don't have time in the show, but coming from a big city, and I lived in Chicago after college, and I've been in New York a bunch of times. I mean, having a little yard, right? Being able to park, having a commute that's very tolerable, being able to live in an area where you could send your kid to a great school without having to send your kid to a private school. You certainly could, but you don't have to, right? My commute is, I literally live and work in Victor. It's 3 minutes, right? It's great. Most people in Rochester, maybe they have an average of a 20-minute commute. Being able to buy an affordable house, being able to get a job that's going to challenge you, right? There's, you know, you're right. And then really, when you think about it, kind of a cool place. I mean, we're pretty close to Toronto. We're pretty close to New York. We're pretty close to Boston. We're kind of close to Chicago. We're pretty close to a lot of cool things happening. So if you do need your fix of the big city, you know, you're one flight away for a little while, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I think people are going to start seeing more in the messaging, it started appearing a few years ago, but I think some influential people are getting behind it, is the referring to the region as the Rochester Finger Lakes region.
Yeah.
And then perhaps even now, I'd like to see more effort to collaborate with Buffalo.
Yeah.
Look at ourselves as a region. You know, I will tell you this, there's a lot of, you know, optics around all that stuff. At the end of the day, though, my folks, my friends who are doing startups know Rochester's the place to do it.
Yeah.
I want Buffalo to succeed, but we don't need those government handouts. And there is a tendency throughout upstate to look for the government for the solution. The government can be more of a problem than a solution.
Yeah,
yeah. The government needs to follow the direction that the business leaders establish, the entrepreneurial business leaders and others.
Yeah.
And there are more and more business folks who are stepping up.
Yeah.
Because many of them have been in the trenches building their business, and then they either they achieve some success, they sell their company. And those are the people we really need to engage.
Yeah.
And that's when you go to a community that is vital in doing well in a Pittsburgh, or all, you see the business leaders really shaping the direction that the community is going. And my friends who are entrepreneurial successes, they really care about issues. In fact, this whole charter school movement in Rochester is a story that isn't widely known. It's been, first of all, it's had an impact on thousands of kids' life.
Yeah.
Forget the union opinion and all that divisiveness, the controversy. The fact of the day, there are more kids that reading and writing and are on the path to a great career because of the charter schools.
Yep.
And the charter schools were started by some prominent entrepreneurs. Yep. And they didn't have to do it. They didn't have to face the ridicule of the unions. Yep. They put up their own money because they cared.
Yeah, and they knew they could do it better.
So business people are good for the most part. There's some bad eggs,
and
there are bad eggs everywhere.
There's bad eggs everywhere. So in our last 10 minutes here, Richard, you're always on the edge. You're always on the cutting edge. So can you share in your opinion some of the really cool things going on in Rochester these days from an entrepreneurial perspective?
Yeah, I think, and I've been having an exchange with a prominent success story recently and talking about the messaging. We're putting together some sort of grassroots marketing initiative to supplement the formal proposal to Amazon. My personal opinion is I'm not betting any money that we're going to get Amazon, but I believe it's a catalyst.
It's kind of cool that we're actually like have the ego to say like, no, let's give it a shot, right?
Well, we're on the list.
Yeah.
So that, my interpretation being on the list is we have the ingredients to one day win something like that.
Right.
And there are going to be many other opportunities, perhaps not considered as enormous as that, but there are going to be other opportunities. They're out there now.
Yeah.
But we need the culture, the vision. And we see a group of business people coalescing, and they need to do it. I can't actually picture the people who are in the establishment who are assembling this proposal. I can't picture them in a room with Jeff Bezos.
Right.
But I have friends who are building cool companies who can have a conversation with Jeff Bezos.
Right. Yeah.
They get him.
Yeah.
So ultimately, though, I believe one of the things that I see emerging here, and it's happening more and more, perhaps one of the most vivid examples is Datto. It's a company that was formed in it's a unicorn worth $1 billion or more, mm-hmm. Based on their last financing, started by an RIT guy, but based in Connecticut. And they started a satellite office here. They now have 300 people. They just moved into the old Chase building known as the Metropolitan. They have five floors there, and they're growing.
Wow.
They recognize the talent pool here. Not only are people more affordable in this market than some of the other major markets, but they're easier to retain.
Yeah.
And real estate is renting space is cheaper and all that sort of stuff. So I see Rochester playing a role in companies that aren't necessarily domiciled here.
Mm-hmm.
That why not have a Google or a Facebook research facility here? Or for that matter, we could compile a list of thousands of companies that could benefit from the talent pool, not just coders. But if you start walking through the corridors in the medical center and the River Campus, there are amazing brainiacs there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
From trained at the best places, even the U of R,
mm-hmm.
where just this year the Nobel laureate in economics is a U of R
mm-hmm.
PhD.
Yeah.
He spent at least five years here. And he's the ninth Nobel laureate with a connection to the University of Rochester. So what is key these days in terms of for anyone who's trying to build an organization of value is IQ,
yeah.
brains.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, notwithstanding the challenges of living and working in a New York City
yeah.
with its costs and taxes, or a Bay Area where the commutes are enormous and house costs are outrageous,
yeah.
people live there.
Yeah.
Or would build their businesses there because there are a lot of smart people. So we have a lot of smart people. And
yeah. What's the saying? We punch harder than our weight or something like that, right? For a quote-unquote small city. And I hear this from other people that don't even live in Rochester that do business. They're like, oh, Rochester, it's just full of wicked smart people. I've heard that from a lot of different people. And we got to thank our great educational institutions, right?
And then the great companies.
Yeah, and the companies,
we're
too.
We're here.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I mean, indirectly, I'm here because of Kodak, because my father-in-law, you know, he had his master's degree from UCLA, an engineering degree from Ohio State, was working in L.A. and got recruited. It was by Kodak in the early 60s. That was like getting the call from Google, you know?
Yeah, back then, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, when you think about back in the day, Kodak and Xerox. And I'm amazed. It's Kodak, you know, obviously it is what it is today. But when you think about what George Eastman did back in his day with what resources he had, I mean, there was obviously no phones, or internet, anything. He built a worldwide brand from Rochester, New York. Yeah, and so, like, you know, my family, you know, from Sicily. I remember 20 years ago, we went exploring little hilltop towns, right, like where hardly anybody lives anymore. And they have nothing, but they have a little store, and I see the Kodak logo.
Exactly.
I'm like, how did George
Eastman? I was just in central Turkey.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
On a vacation with some Rochesterians mountain biking.
Yeah.
And there was a washed out Kodak sign.
Right, yeah.
And so I like to say that Steve Jobs, we all put him on a pedestal, Apple, mm. Facebook, Amazon.
Yeah.
I contend that they have several more decades before they can hold a candle to Kodak and its impact mm. upon the world. If you actually watch an old movie mm. and even a modern movie, and that might have been set at a certain time, and they depict refugees, people who had to flee home, even in a fire, what do you grab?
Yeah.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Who made pictures universally accessible?
Right. Yeah.
By building factories. This is pre-GATT, when trade wasn't the way. There are identical factories all over the world to produce the chemistry to have film.
Right.
And even growing up, you go get your portrait as a, in the 60s or 70s with your family. And I still have those images.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
The world has
totally changed.
But that was George Eastman. And and then obviously there was the government work and the Hubble work, and it was a remarkable company.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So and then Xerox obviously had a huge impact on the world, mm-hmm. and Steve Jobs admits he got a lot of his technology ideas from Xerox, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of cool things going on. You talked about some of the companies, but some of the cutting edge things going on, like High Tech Rochester, where before the show we're talking about Jim Sinai. He's going to be on my show in about, in about a week as well. You know, we have Carlson Co-Work Center, which is kind of cool, and that whole building, what they've done with that, right? This old 800,000 square foot building that was like sitting bare.
Now, that building produced most of the radios through the 40s, 50s, and 60s. If you see an old collectible radio that has Emerson on it or RCA, likelihood is that it was made in that factory.
Right there in Rochester, New York. Yeah.
Just go to Radio Social. They have a collection of these old radios.
Yeah, yeah. And that, so and that, I just that's part of the Renaissance, right? So now this old building that used to, as you said, be a, the manufacturing hub of radios around the world, laid vacant, and now you go there, and it's a really exciting place to be. Carlson Co-Work Center's there, and then there's the radio shows you talked about, which is probably one of the coolest places around, right? Food, bar, bowling alley, right?
And across the street's Artisan Works.
And the Artisan Works
is
there.
That is an under-recognized asset.
Yeah.
It's an amazing world-class place.
Yeah, yeah, I know. High Tech Rochester is doing some great things. They're moving to the Sibley Building. They're already there, right? And I know that they're continuing to do the move. So it's just it's really really exciting, and there's so many things going on in Rochester. And Richard, you know you're playing a big role in it. So I want to thank you very much. From when I first met you years ago, I want to say 14 years ago when you were starting Digital Rochester, I was starting EO. Entrepreneurs Organization, which at that time was YEO. They got rid of the Y because we weren't young anymore and they still wanted our dues. So now it's just EO. But I remember I was setting up a booth for an event and you said, hey, I'm starting this new thing called Digital Rochester. You want to set up a booth next week at our event too? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, and then the rest is history, right? So really appreciate all that you're doing.
I appreciate your work, and I like the name of your organization, Avanti.
Thank you.
It's uplifting.
Uplifting. Moving forward. You know, my other company, Next Step, I'm always trying to, you know, move forward. So, hey, and Richard, if anybody wants to get in touch with you to kind of, you know, be part of your efforts, maybe be a part of Rock Growth or anything else that you're doing, what's the best way to
Well, first of all, I encourage people, and if they feel it becomes spam, they can unregister, go to rockgrowth.com. The website is in the midst of a relaunch. It's going to be a very useful tool, I think. But if you go on the homepage, it's easy to register for notifications. We don't send out too many.
Right.
And if you'd like to reach out to me, you can do an info at Rock Growth, and that's ROC Growth, ROWTH.com, or you can always, you know, email me at Richard A. Glazer with an S, RICHARDAGLASER at Gmail.
Beautiful.
I try to be responsive.
You are responsive, I can assure that.
Thanks.
So thanks again, Richard. Really appreciate you being on the show. And we do have to go. Thank you, Avanti Entrepreneur listeners. Appreciate you listening. And before I go, if you or someone you know would like to be considered to be on the show, a Rochester entrepreneur, leader, or just someone who's making a difference in the business community here, please throw me an email at david@davidmamano.com. Have a great day.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.